WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this funky Friday. That's right. Can you believe it? TGIF. Man, but this week really flew by, all right? It is August 12th, 2016, and we plan on closing out your week with a bang. On today's Current Sports, we will invite Mr. Deshaun Tate. That's right, mid-Michigan's own of CBS Radio 92.9, The Game out in Atlanta, Georgia. Deshaun will join us for the first time live in studio. That's right, Deshaun will be right across from me as we talk a little Olympic basketball, all right, as the men's Olympic team. They almost had a bit of a hiccup against Australia 2 days ago. They resumed play today. Deshaun will be in the house to talk about that. We'll talk a little MSU football as well, so you don't want to miss that. Also, we will have a full Olympic update recapping what took place yesterday out in Rio de Janeiro. History being made, folks. We'll talk about the two Simones, as well, of course, the human shark, Mr. Michael Phelps. And hey, preseason NFL football. Yeah, you got to love that, right? A plethora of games took place last night. We'll pick and choose a few Spartans who had headline performances, I guess you can say. And also, we'll give you a preview of the Lions-Steelers preseason game, which will take place tonight. That and more. Call in to be a part of today's show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But hey, without further ado, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, a bit of an update concerning the Michigan State football team and its practices. Now, Michigan State's Friday morning practice has now been moved to this evening. With the practice time change, the Spartans will hold a closed scrimmage tomorrow, and this will give a golden opportunity for the coaches to really make a first-time evaluation of the roster as it continues to evaluate depth chart decisions. Now, the scrimmage will come after 7 days of practices, including 3 in full pads. All right, and we'll bring that report to you as far as the numbers go from that scrimmage on Monday's show. Again, no cameras are allowed, just some in-house evaluation for the MSU football team on Saturday. All right, quarterback Matt Little and linebacker Tristan Pipp are no longer on the Western Michigan college football roster. Both freshmen joined the Broncos program as early enrollees this past spring, but a team spokesperson confirmed Little and Pipp are no longer on the roster. No reason was provided other than the players left before the first practice. Now, they were two of the recruits who helped Western Michigan land the top-rated class in the MAC for the not one, not two, but yes, third straight year. So I'm sure more details will come concerning Little and Pipp as time moves along. And do the names Devin Gardner and Jeremy Gallen ring a bell? Well, it should for all of the Michigan fans out there. Of course, Gardner and Gallen used to be players for the Michigan college football team. And both will now be heading to Japan to play the game they love. The former Michigan teammates have signed to play for the Nojima Sarigahara Rise of Japan's Semi-Pro X-League this season. Interesting, right? The team is based in Sagamihara City in Japan, roughly 6,400 miles from Ann Arbor. That's a long way from Ann Arbor, all right? Per the Japan Times, Gardner and Gallen will begin their Japanese football careers August 28th. Gallen, who set Michigan's single-season record for receiving yards in a season with 1,373 in 2013, he was drafted in the 7th round by the New England Patriots in the 2014 draft, but was promptly released. Gardner, meanwhile, had short free agent deals as a wide receiver with the Patriots and Pittsburgh Steelers in 2015 before taking his shot overseas this year. He will wear number 98 this season for the Rise. Good luck to both of them. All right, Ryan Borecki was in firm control once again. Ryan Hissey drilled a two-run triple, and the Lansing Lugnuts won their fifth straight game. The Luggies are rolling 4-2 over the West Michigan Whitecaps on Thursday night at Fifth Third Ballpark. Now, the Lugnuts improved to 9-3 against the Whitecaps in 2016, winning the last seven meetings. Borecki tossed five scoreless innings for the second straight start. Impressive stuff, limiting the Whitecaps to just one hit, striking out five and lowering his ERA to 2.45. It was the Southpaw's sixth consecutive winning decision. The next Luggies home game will take place on Monday, August 15th, opening a seven-game homestand. The Detroit Tigers needed to continue their recent run of good starting pitching in a tough series versus the Texas Rangers that begins today at Globe Life Park in Arlington. The Rangers are ready with an ace who's healthy again and pitching like it. Detroit will start righty Anibal Sanchez, who is 6-11 on the year with a 5.88 ERA, against Rangers righty Yu Darvish, who is 2-3 on the year with a 2.78 ERA. In the opener of a crucial three-game set between two postseason contenders, of course, the Tigers still trying to compete in that American League Central and are right in the thick of things in the American League wild card race. Matt Boyd was supposed to pitch, this game for the Tigers, but was moved to tomorrow after Tuesday night's game in Seattle went 15 innings, and Boyd was called on to pitch in the 14th. The Tigers will be without center fielder Cameron Maben once again, who went on the 15-day disabled list on Wednesday with a sprained left thumb. Game time is set for 8:05 p.m. tonight. The Detroit Pistons will open the 2016-17 season October 26th on the road at the Toronto Raptors, the Eastern Conference's second seed last year, with the home opener coming October 28th versus the Orlando Magic. The Pistons have three ESPN games, January 13th at the Utah Jazz, January 18th versus the Atlanta Hawks, and March 8th at the Indiana Pacers. And three TNT games, how about that, on January 12th at the Golden State Warriors, January 30th at the Boston Celtics, and April 10th versus the Washington Wizards. The highlight of the Palace slate comes December 23rd, 2 days before Christmas, when the Warriors, fresh off signing star Kevin Durant, pay a visit to the Palace. Get your tickets right now. Then the day after Christmas Day, the Cleveland Cavaliers will come to town on December 26th. The Pistons have 17 back-to-backs and won four games in five-night stretch. The league high is 18 back-to-backs, so they are nipping at that league high. Also, the Detroit Lions open the preseason this evening against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The game can be seen on Fox at 7 p.m. We will have a preview of that matchup in the matter of minutes. And also, how about this? Trey Wayans of Michigan State, former Michigan State cornerback, gets a chance to show how far he's come in the year since the Minnesota Vikings made him their top pick in the first round. Veteran corner Terrence Newman didn't make the trip to Ohio this week as the Vikes held 2 days of joint practices with one of his former clubs, the Cincinnati Bengals. He'll miss the exhibition opener because of an undisclosed injury, giving Wayans an opportunity. All right, folks, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, if you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, 517-355-9527, 517-355-WKAR. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, let's start the show. Okay. Well, I tell you what. That's what happens sometimes when Isaac leaves. We have actually new engineer for today, Seth Kinker, filling in. I had a pretty cool intro for you guys that we couldn't get to due to technical difficulties. But hey, welcome to the show. Live radio, baby. Gotta love it. I am your host, Al Martin. And folks, we've got a plate full of sports talk on today's show. Of course, we will recap what took place out in Rio de Janeiro. And I wanted to have a nice segue into the Rio Olympics. Recapping what took place last night, history was certainly made, folks. Wow. Simone Manuel. And there's two Simones who have been really just taking the headlines throughout the Olympics thus far. Simone Manuel and also Simone Biles. Simone Biles, who I think right now can already go down as the greatest gymnast of all time. The Michael Jordan of gymnastics. Without a doubt, folks, she hasn't lost in 3 years. She's also been a part of what took place a few days ago, the now gold medal USA Team Olympic team that includes, you know, guys like, well, I should say gymnasts like Allie Raisman and Gabby Douglas and so on and so forth. And yesterday, around 3 p.m., and as I stated, those that tuned in to yesterday's show, you know, I stated that I was going to go up to my office and immediately crack open my laptop, go to NBC.com and check out the all-around, individual all-around competition that included two USA stars, Allie Raisman, as well as Simone Biles. They competed in that, and really, it wasn't even close. It's remarkable, as I watched that, just how far along Biles and Raisman are from the rest of the competition in the world when it comes to the sport of gymnastics. I mean, it's remarkable, especially Biles. It's really hard to really pick apart her game and find a flaw in it. She's that good, folks. I mean, she specializes in the floor as well as the beam, but even in the other competitions, I mean, it's really hard to find anything wrong with Biles. I mean, it was fantastic. So if you missed yesterday's action, let's hit it with you guys early. Let's go with an Olympic update right now. All right, folks, it is now time for an Olympic update right here on Current Sports. Well, first off, I want to give you guys a rundown of how the total medal leaderboard stands going into today's events. Right now, the United States is in the lead, 8 medals ahead of China right now at 38, China at 30, Japan at 22, Russia with 19, and Great Britain with 16. Now again, folks, on Thursday, Simone Manuel of Team USA became the very first African-American woman to win an individual event in Olympic swimming. How crazy is that? She actually tied with Penny Oleksiak of Canada for the fastest time of 52.70 seconds. Unbelievable stuff, folks. And when you put those numbers in perspective, again, you know, just put that accomplishment in perspective for Simone Manuel. Again, the first African-American woman to win an individual medal in swimming. Breaking down barriers, folks. Unbelievable stuff. And also, we are witnessing history when it comes to Simone Biles, as I mentioned. The other Simone, a U.S. gymnast, began competing in individual events. It quickly became clear to any doubters that Team USA Simone Biles is the greatest athlete that her sport has ever known. She took the gold in the individual all-around competition by an unprecedented margin. According to the Wall Street Journal, her margin of 2.1, quote, tripled the closest gap between number one and number two in every Olympics of the last 40 years, end quote. That's coming from the Wall Street Journal. Again, her win, her margin of victory yesterday in the individual all-around competition of 2.1 tripled the closest gap between number one and number two in every single Olympic Games in 40 years. Absolutely stunning, folks. And how about Michael Phelps? And so, and when you look at Phelps, I mean, this is just, it's ridiculous what this dude is doing. I mean, a lot of people forget that this is a guy who is coming off of quote-unquote retirement. You know, a few years ago when he said, hey, I'm done, and he was going through all of his troubles away from the pool, the DUI arrest, and you know, he felt like he didn't have anything to shoot for. And I watched a sit-down with Phelps and Bob Costas of NBC before the Olympics kicked off. And Phelps, you know, there was a moment where Phelps, there was actually a six-month period where Phelps didn't even see a gym. You know, he was just sitting back. He said he was in the worst health of his life. He was just eating everything that he saw, did not care about health, didn't care about the gym. And now he makes a triumphant return and another goal, right? Phelps won his fourth gold medal in Rio in the 200-meter individual medley. Unbelievable stuff, folks. Yeah. We will never see anything like him again. I really believe that. I mean, he's got, what, 22 golds now? So that's what took place, the three biggest events that took place, and events and accomplishments that took place yesterday out in Rio. And as far as what to look forward to tonight, I will be providing you all with an update later on in the hour when it comes to that. So, again, folks, I want you all to weigh in. Again, phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Weigh in on what we've seen so far when it comes to the Rio de Janeiro Olympics. Again, we'll be inviting in just about 15 minutes now, Deshaun Tate, who is in town. This is a rare occasion. He's in town right now in Mid-Michigan. He's from Mid-Michigan, but he works for CBS Radio 92.9, The Game, out in Atlanta, Georgia. We will be diving into some Olympic basketball as the U.S. men's Olympic team 2 days ago had, they ran into some tough competition, you know, in complete contrary to what has happened in the first few games of the Olympics for that team, where they just were blowing out people by like 40 to 50 points. I mean, it was absolutely crazy, okay? But what we are seeing, you know, again, just to elaborate again on Biles and Manuel, you know, what I found so intriguing and so emotional about watching those two out in the mat was that, you know, again, I'm always on social media, and immediately after I posted my own thoughts about Biles and Manuel and their accomplishments in yesterday's Olympic Games, I immediately started to see just a plethora of other individuals weigh in. And what I found in particularly cool is, you know, I always talk about here on the show how, you know, because I do a lot of mentorship, and I always talk about here on the show how young African-American males that I work with, you know, I find it so important that when growing up, they need to see an example of what to shoot for. They need to have positive role models to look up to and aspire to. And I think, well, I always bring up this, the creme de la creme of that conversation is, of course, our president, Barack Obama, the first African-American president in U.S. history. And I rarely have the conversation because, again, the majority of my mentorship is when it comes to young African-American males, and I rarely get to have that conversation, that same conversation with young African-American women, you know, young African-American girls. And I find that in the media, in television shows, in the normal applications, and I should say normal publications that we read on a daily basis, we don't see a lot of African-American women promoted for young African-American girls to look up to. We just don't see it. You know, we see more African-American males put into that role, into that spectrum. And that's a whole nother conversation for another day. But with that being said, I found it so cool to see online, and I saw different articles written about it, how there are many African-American girls out there looking up to and aspiring to be like the two Simones, Simone Biles and Simone Manuel. Watching what those two did yesterday and seeing the outpouring of emotion from young Black girls across this nation that's when sports transcend. And that is the perfect example of how impactful sports can become if put on the right platform and if promoted a certain way. Absolutely love what we're seeing right now from two individuals who, and I believe, you know, if you look at somebody like Simone Biles, I mean, she still has, she has the opportunity to leave Rio with 5 gold medals. So we'll continue to see her face put out there left and right. And I think it's unbelievable. And it just warms my heart when I see that. And also to bring even a local feel to it, you know, how about Clarissa Shields? You know, I talked about how, you know, last week I got the opportunity to head out to Flint, Michigan with other members of the WKAR-TV team. And while out there, you know, we got to visit the gym that honed the boxing skills of Clarissa Shields, who is now competing. She won't compete until August 17th to defend her gold medal. But Clarissa Shields, born and bred in Flint, Michigan, she's a young African-American woman who won the gold medal in the very first year that Olympic women's boxing became Olympic women's boxing. How cool is that, right? She was the first to take home the gold for America. And she's out there defending her gold medal and, you know, visiting Burston Fieldhouse. That's the gym where she grew up and trained in. And talking to those that know her and talking to those that have seen her grow up into the woman that she is today. And I got a chance to chat with some little ones out there as well. And they talked about how inspired they are to see Clarissa doing what she's doing. So I just find it so important to have these conversations because this is a moment where sports can become so vital to the upbringing of today's youth, especially those in the minority population who don't get to see someone that looks like them doing and performing on a stage like the Olympics and not just out there competing, but winning. It's absolutely, it just warms my heart, and it's absolutely unbelievable. All right, folks, we'll have more Olympic talk as the show goes on. Also want to note that, hey, NFL football, I should say, is officially back. That's right. I know many of you guys out there were awaiting it to return sooner than last night because the Hall of Fame game was supposed to take place on Sunday. But they had a paint problem when it comes to the field, and they decided to cancel it due to trying to look out for the safety of the players. And that caused a bit of uproar. I mean, we're talking about a preseason game here, but, I mean, it was everywhere. People very upset that they didn't get a chance to see some preseason football because of paint. But, hey, I'm pretty sure watching the games that were on last night acted as a Band-Aid for the heartbreak that you felt on Sunday. But the Lions will hit the field, and I actually got on my Detroit Lions tee right now as we prepare for yet another season, another Detroit Lions season that I hope does not end in heartbreak. But, hey, if you're in Vegas right now, that's your safe bet because it seems like every single year the Detroit Lions break your heart in some way, shape, form, or fashion, right? But you know, looking at last night, I want to just pick out a few players that, you know, have ties right here locally when it comes to Michigan State football, as well as even Michigan football. So, you know, a few standouts for me when you evaluate the NFL exhibition games that took place last night. How about Bears second-year running back, Jeremy Langford? That's right, former Michigan State running back great. He had 4 carries for 7 yards. Not a lot, but hey, Langford assumes the starting role this season after Matt Forte, of course, departed for the New York Jets in free agency. So it's going to be very interesting to see how Jeremy adjusts to that role of being the guy. The running back out in Chicago, he rushed for 537 yards and 6 scores as a rookie. How about Benny Fowler? That's right, Broncos second-year wide receiver from Michigan State University. Also went to Detroit Country Day. He had 2 catches for 13 yards in the first half in action last night for Denver. Jaguars wide receiver Allen Robinson of Orchard Lake St. Mary's He had three catches for 80 yards, including a spectacular, I don't know if you guys saw this, but man, it was a 45-yard leaping grab over Jets corner D. Milliner. The 61st pick in the 2014 draft, he balled out at Penn State. Robinson is coming off an 80-catch, 1,400-yard and 14-touchdown campaign. Yeah, a lot of people know, yeah, Allen Robinson is right from Orchard Lake St. Mary's. And if you didn't catch that crazy 45-yard leaping grab, yeah, you need to do a quick Google off the chain. Jags backup quarterback Chad Henne, of course, out of U of M, he was 8 of 9 passing for 94 yards in the first half. And last but certainly not least, also out of U of M, Panthers wide receiver Devin Funchess. He hauled in a 10-yard touchdown, a second-round pick in 2015. Funchess caught 5 touchdowns as a rookie for the NFC champion. So I wanted to bring up just a few of the names that have local ties to the state of Michigan and beyond. And, you know, moving forward now, again, everybody's amped. A lot of Detroit Lions fans out there are amped because they get to see the Honolulu Blue get back out on the gridiron and do what they do, all right? Now, again, it's preseason football, and it is the thing that really tickles my fancy because, you know, it's preseason football, and it amazes me how many people get excited about it. First off, it just kind of puts in perspective just how popular the National Football League is because, again, you have people getting just going nuts over preseason football. You don't get to see your respective superstars, the stars of every program, you know. And tonight, when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, of course, Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown, who I think is the best wide receiver in the game right now. He actually made Darius Slay. I mean, he just embarrassed Darius Slay in the joint practice with the Lions and Steelers the other day, and there were many accounts of that online. But, you know, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, former Michigan State running back great, and Ben Roethlisberger, they are among the starters who will sit out for the Steelers. And the Lions, having gotten plenty of work and joint practices this week, they won't play their stars as much, if at all, either. You know, that's how it goes with these preseason games. So a few areas to watch when it comes to the Detroit Lions tonight against the Steelers. I'm looking really closely at that running back position because the Lions are pretty much set when it comes to their premier guys and who will be really shouldering the brunt of the load for this team this season in Ameer Abdullah and Theo Riddick. And I don't think we'll see Abdullah or Riddick at all tonight. But do you remember the name Zach Zinner? I mean, that was like the name last year in Detroit Lions preseason football. I mean, he had a strong preseason in 2015 to actually earn a roster spot as an undrafted rookie. Absolutely love stories like that. Zinner is trying to repeat that, of course, and they will get a chance to see if Zinner can have similar production like last year in the preseason. And if you look at him, you know, he's currently in competition with 6-year veteran Stephen Ridley, and also George Wynn. So I think when it comes to that position, we'll see. I mean, this is what it's all about. I mean, guys trying to make roster spots. You know, that the preseason isn't about who wins and who loses. It's about which young studs for each team can impress and possibly earn a spot on that roster. And Zinner is a guy who's probably looking for a more permanent role with this Detroit Lions team, okay? Also, offensive tackle Taylor Decker. That's one of the prime conversations that you have with the Detroit Lions. I feel like every single year, you have to protect the quarterback. This offensive line has to protect Matthew Stafford if they are going to have any shot at the playoffs. And the Lions addressed their biggest offseason need by selecting Taylor Decker in the first round, 16th overall. He was initially expected to start on the right side, and then he was moved to left tackle for offseason practices. And, you know, his role really isn't set in stone, but the Ohio State product, he could be a big piece when it comes to protecting the man that is Matthew Stafford. So there will be a prime spotlight on Taylor Decker tonight as well. And how about moving forward here? Of course, the Lions secondary is also another position that takes a lot of heat as well. Kyle Vannoy, former second-round pick. He hasn't come close to delivering on his potential. He is, for lack of better terms, been a complete disappointment. Complete disappointment since joining the Detroit Lions team. But he's healthy right now. He's healthy. And again, you know, to preface that, again, he's healthy. He hasn't been healthy in 3 years for this team. So hey, nothing against him, man. Even though he hasn't lived up to his potential, a lot of it has to do with just his overall health. So Vannoy, reading a lot of blogs out there and different reporters who have been reporting throughout Detroit Lions training camp, it looks as though Vannoy is in good shape. His conditioning is up to par. And he will be a guy to see if he can produce throughout the offseason who we could also possibly see earn some significant playing time this upcoming year. So those are a few players to watch tonight as the Detroit Lions open up the preseason exhibition games against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, that game will take place tonight at 7 p.m. and can be seen on Fox. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio, 92.9 The Game out in Atlanta, Georgia. We'll have plenty of Olympic talk with Deshaun. We'll talk about the Olympic men's basketball team moving forward as they resume play tonight. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
To others that you can do it.
This team has been remarkable throughout these Olympic Games. What is it like to contribute in the way you just did?
It means a lot. I mean, I definitely want to go out there and swim fast for Team USA. I mean, having everybody swim fast makes me want to swim fast, so it's really great to be on such an amazing team.
Congratulations.
What's up, good people? Yeah, I wanted to play that for you all because, again, it was just a remarkable moment last night for Simone Manuel, again, becoming the first African-American woman to medal in an individual swimming event. Absolutely stunning, folks. And as promised, I want to give you guys a heads up of what to look for today, later on, out in Rio. And I'm excited about this because other than what is taking place in the pool, track and field rules. I think, at the Summer Olympics. Now, you can make that argument now with, of course, looking at Michael Phelps and how Michael Phelps now has 20-plus gold medals. He's breaking records left and right. I mean, the dude is a human shark, all right? But the track and field will come with a lot of drama as well. Now, today, the women's 10,000 meters, the first track and field medal of the Olympics, will be handed out. I should say probably already has. looking at the schedule here, as the women hit the track for the 10,000-meter race, that took place actually at 10:10 a.m. So maybe, Seb, you can look up and see who the winner was of that one. I'm just seeing that time here. Also, I'm pretty excited because for the first time since like 1904, golf is back. That's right. On the links, golf is back in the Olympics for the first time. And things have gotten started in round two early this morning. And some pretty impressive numbers, some very impressive numbers. And I want to bring up this man because when you look at what has taken place this far, I couldn't believe that an Australian golfer for the first time shot a 63. Marcus Fraser going into round two, he led by three shots. And Justin Rose actually had a hole in one. As the sport makes his first Olympic appearance since 1904. But yeah, Fraser ran off four straight birdies before the wind arrived and kept right on going until he had an 8-under 63, giving him that three-shot lead over British Open champion Henrik Stenson of Sweden. So that was pretty impressive stuff. Round two is taking place as we speak right now. Back to the pool tonight at 9:01 p.m., the women's 200-meter backstroke final. Madeline Dorado is looking to earn her second gold medal out in Rio. So check that out. That will happen at 9 o'clock. That will happen live on NBC. The men's 100-meter butterfly final. Yes, Michael Phelps is looking for a gold medal. Gold medal number 23 in one of his weaker events of the Olympics. Butterfly isn't his specialty, but hey, it's still Michael Phelps we're talking about. Also at 9:28, the women's 800-meter freestyle reigning champion Katie Ledecky, and she is just unbelievable when it comes to the women's side of things. She is back and looking to earn her second consecutive gold medal in the event. She gets her first chance with the preliminary heats early today. And again, you can check out all of that action and more tonight and throughout the entire day on NBC. All right, how about we talk some Olympic basketball, shall we? Right now, we invite a dear friend of the show. We have had him via phone many, many times down south in the ATL. That's right, Atlanta, Georgia. He works for CBS Radio 92.9 The Game, and he is from right here in Mid-Michigan. And I was a bit surprised as he reached out because I had no idea he was going to be in town this weekend, but I am glad he is because this is the first time we've ever had him live in our current sports studios. I now welcome Mr. Deshaun Tate. What's up, homie?
Al, what's up, man? Good to see you, man. It's been a little while, you know. I mean, we had a chance to, you know, kind of chop it up and kick it a little bit at one point, but never had an opportunity to do this, man. So this is epic. I'm happy.
Very cool stuff. I know the first time we met, I met you in person for the first time when you came and visited the studio, but we've never had you live on the air in our studios. We've always had you via the cell phone, all right? So it's good to see you, my man. I see you're rocking your Atlanta Hawks hat as well.
Yeah, man. Got to support, you know, where the money is coming from.
Exactly.
For sure. Definitely got to do that. But I love your studio, man. I love your setup. It's awesome, man.
Thank you, dude.
The life of Al Martin. I'm getting a chance to see it, man. It's beautiful. Got a lot of green and white in here, so that makes me even happier.
Well, we have to. It would be a crime if we didn't, right, being on the campus of Michigan State University. So.
Agreed.
Now, first I want to start, Deshaun, we've had a ton of Olympic talk here on today's show thus far, and I got to ask you, before talking about the Olympic men's basketball team, what has been your favorite moment of the Olympics thus far?
It's got to be what Michael Phelps has been able to do. You know, considering all things, like, when you're talking about 22 medals, and I'm just, it's the type of thing, like, we're having an opportunity to see what Michael Phelps is able to do. It's one of those things where it's like, everyone will remember this moment. Everyone will remember where they were when Michael Phelps just kind of came out. And I forget the gentleman that he's kind of been kind of going back and forth with.
Ryan Lochte,
the other guy from South Africa.
Oh, the South African
guy.
Chad Delios? something like that.
DeLeos
yeah.
or something
DeLeos,
like that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, just the way that, you know, clearly the defeat to Michael Phelps obviously was one thing, but the way Michael Phelps kind of came back and bounced back, and he got a little bit of that U.S. trash talk in him too. So I think to be able to experience what he's been able to do on the level that he's been able to do it, as consistently as he's been able to do it, I think that probably is what put me over the top more than anything for the 2016 Rio Olympics.
Yeah, and I love that moment with Chad DeLeos, and I think we've been butchering that the entire week, but you know, you saw the drama that ensued with that. I mean, he tried, you know, steering Michael Phelps up and down, and Mike is just in his zone with his Beats headphones, and then they get on the blocks, and you know, Chad is looking at Mike, and he's looking the other way, and then Mike just goes out and does what he does, right?
Yep, yep.
Unbelievable. That has to be my favorite moment as well, and I'm really looking forward to the track and field events as well. But you know, I want to talk about now. I want to shift gears because your specialty is, of course, hoops. Mm-hmm. You're a college basketball columnist out at 92.9 The Game, CBS Radio as well, and in the hardwood is your place of safe haven, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I want to start by talking about the Olympic men's basketball team, because prior to that matchup against Aussie earlier on this week, where, you know, and you look at the matchups leading up to that one, I mean, the Olympic men's basketball team were blowing out teams by 30, 40, 50 points. I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable, absolutely dominant. I got a bit frustrated watching it, as I do every 4 years when watching the Olympic men's basketball team, because I've always made the argument, what competition out there is there for this team? Because when you play in the NBA, that's the creme de la creme of basketball in the entire world. You have international players coming to America to play in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So the competition just dies down year after year after year, I feel like. But this Australian team is one that had five players that are currently in the NBA, and they were not intimidated. At one point, they even had a 5-point lead against the United States
at
team.
At the half, I remember that.
I know,
yep.
It was crazy, right? I
Absolutely.
Mean, what do you make of that quote-unquote hiccup? They still got the W, though, because that's all that matters when you talk about these competitions. But what do you make of that game, and will we see any other squad moving forward that can challenge the U.S. like Australia did?
Well, the win doesn't surprise me, but the win definitely concerns me. And when you're looking at things as far as the spectrum overall, I'm concerned by the fact that they didn't play anyone of any kind of competition leading up to the preliminaries. And when you're talking about, you know, the games that didn't count, the quote-unquote Olympic exhibition games, rather, when they were playing, you know, Nigeria, or when they were playing China, for that matter, they weren't necessarily playing any teams leading up to that were difficult teams to play. It's nothing that would prepare them to go up against an Australian team. So that being said, I mean, I don't think that they played any team. Like, when they played the China team, China didn't have any current NBA players on that roster. In addition to, I think it was, let me see, Venezuela, I want to say.
Right.
They were without Grievous Vasquez, who's a current NBA player as well. Them being without him and then not having any, you know, NBA talent on their roster either, just kinds of show. I mean, yeah, they get a 50-60 point win over a China team, but I saw a little bit more red flags kind of come up when they played that Venezuelan team. And even though they were able to beat them by 20 plus points, you've seen how the United States kind of got off to really slow starts. And that's something that they couldn't afford to do. Unfortunately, they ended up taking that into their very next game against Australia, and they're kind of playing with fire right now, if I had to say so myself. I mean, there are some issues moving forward for this United States team, but in my personal opinion, that'll be expected to do so. You're not playing with LeBron James on the team. You're not playing with Stephen Curry. You're not playing with the two best basketball players in the world, in my personal opinion. So you can kind of expect for those things to happen.
But at the same time, again, this was an Australia team that had the likes of Matthew Dellavedova, who actually went off that game.
Mm-hmm. Patty
Mills.
Mm-hmm.
How about
Patty?
Patty Mills, to me, was the MVP of that game. I mean, he was absolutely unbelievable, and it was giving Klay Thompson the blues. But, you know, to put that last statement in perspective, Deshaun, I mean, at the end of the day, though, these are still prime NBA players that have dominated the league for a long time. You got the likes of Kevin Durant, you got Klay Thompson, you got Draymond Green, Carmelo Anthony exploded for 30 points in that game as well. I mean, looking forward, they play Serbia later on today. Mm. Looking down the pike and their road to a gold medal, I don't see anybody else that can really challenge this team from getting the gold moving forward.
Well, maybe not, but I do know one that there is one team that kind of sticks out to me more than any, and that's France. France has a lot of very, very good basketball. I mean, from Boris Diaw to Tony Parker, There's another one in there. So I can't remember the guy's first name or how it's pronounced exactly, but DiColo is another one. He's an NBA player. There's one more guy I'm trying to think of. Oh, Rudy Gobert is another one who's kind of seeing, you know, a little bit of progression in the NBA ranks himself, especially had a really huge year this past year. So considering all things, I think that that may probably be their toughest matchup. And hopefully they get things together here, because the Australian team just really came to show and they're coming to play. My biggest thing is, what is, we know that the United States is very, very offensive heavy. But what are they going to do when they get put in a position where they have to get stops, especially if a guy like DeAndre Jordan gets in foul trouble? DeMarcus Cousins sometimes gives you a little bit of inconsistency from a mentality standpoint, picks up really dumb fouls, in my personal opinion. Kyrie Irving isn't exactly the defensive player that, you know, a lot of other guys in the NBA that they probably could have put on this team for that reason alone, as well as Klay Thompson and so many others. And you're not seeing the Draymond Green. Draymond Green's not getting the Draymond Green opportunities that he would get over in the Bay Area either.
Yeah, same thing with Klay Thompson as well. I mean, Klay has struggled with his shot. Mm-hmm. Draymond Green has struggled with his shot. I mean, when you got, you know, look at Kevin Durant, who's playing awesome. Carmelo Anthony has been relatively consistent as well. He just became the player with the most points in Olympic history.
Leading scorer.
Unbelievable stuff, right? And I want to ask this question to you, because it's been a debate now for a couple of weeks, because Carmelo Anthony, he made a statement in comparison to winning an Olympic gold medal and winning an NBA championship. And he said that they're on the same level. And there was a lot of talk on just within the media hallmark of whether or not that's a true thing. Because in my opinion, this is the way I look at it. The NBA, as I stated, is the creme de la creme of basketball. It is much harder to win an NBA championship than an Olympic gold medal if you it depends on what team you're talking about here, because the U.S. are just going to coast to a gold medal. I say give them the gold medal right now.
Right.
Melo made a statement, though, that sparks up an interesting conversation about what American players value more. So what do you think, Deshaun? Do you think that an Olympic gold medal is valued more than an NBA championship when it comes to the likes of those representing Team USA out in Rio right now?
I'll say this first and foremost. I respectfully disagree with the fact that they will coast to an Olympic gold medal. I see something a little different. It feels different. It doesn't feel like the 92 team. It doesn't feel like the 2012 team. It doesn't feel like it has something. But as far as the importance, it just really depends on who you're asking. And I say that because, sure, from a competition standpoint, when you're playing with the United States in the Olympics, it's not nearly as difficult. You know, you're going to have a lot of 50 and 60 point blowout games, and granted, but that's not something that everybody gets a part of. You know, when you're on an NBA team, I mean, you name it, there's some guys who just happen to luckily be on a lot of NBA teams and just happen to get these rings. I mean, sure, granted, Robert Horry being one of them, he made a lot of big shots for those championship teams. Don't get me wrong. But he also was put in a position at the right place at the right time to be in a position like that. And you get a lot of guys that are getting NBA World Championships just from being in the right place at the right time and not getting much burn.
Well, yeah, what we're talking about is the those who are in the starting lineup. And we're not talking about the fifth man on the bench here. We're talking about those in the starting lineup, those who make a preeminent impact in that conversation. I mean, we don't care about the guy who's third string. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because that guy isn't having an opportunity to get an Olympic gold medal.
We're not talking about the Darko Milicic of the world. We're talking about the LeBron James.
Oh, please,
James.
Don't bring that guy's name up anymore. Really, really bad time for me right now. I was trying to enjoy myself, Al, until that moment.
You're Darko, right?
Exactly, until I heard that. I'd say definitely the NBA World Championship.
I mean,
especially for a guy like Carmelo Anthony, who I felt like, or let me say this, that many people are starting to feel like Carmelo Anthony may be going on his way out of the NBA. Now, looking at being an experienced player, one of the vets, one of the leaders, especially for this Olympic team and also in the NBA, might be on his way out of the NBA without NBA championship. But I've been feeling that way probably since he came into the league, because of the organizations that he's been with, because of the pieces that is being placed around him to play with. But this is his opportunity. He has this opportunity. It's just him, for an example. He has that opportunity this year with a very, you know, hopefully Derrick Rose can come back from this injury. You know, I don't know how much stock you really want to put into that. Joakim Noah has been added. There's been a few other guys, Courtney Lee, amongst a couple others. So that being said, Now he has those pieces, and there can't be that excuse. We might see the New York Knicks that we haven't seen maybe make probably the strongest push at a world championship since we saw them do back in the 70s when they won the whole thing. But at the end of the day, I definitely have to say the NBA world championship for sure.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And your point about Carmelo Anthony, I mean, he's in a situation right now where he has no excuses, if you ask me. I mean, in my opinion, you can say that throughout much of his NBA career. Carmelo Anthony's game is a special type of game. He's not much of a defender, but right. He is one of the greatest scorers we have ever seen. And you have to put components around him to really flourish his game. And I think when you got Porzingis out there and Derrick Rose, who, knock on wood, I'm hoping the dude stays healthy. Really hoping the dude stays healthy. But right now, I think this team is in position to really make a big push in the NBA playoffs. I think they'll make the playoffs, and I think they can make a big push once they get to the dance. Moving forward, though, I want to get your thoughts on this because we haven't had you on to talk about this. But for about 2 weeks, the talk of the town here locally was, of course, about one man, Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
And, heck, looking back at last week and the whole Snapchat blunder, his name got brought up again. What do you make of what's taken place this summer when it comes to Draymond Green? And has it changed or altered your perception at all about Green ever since he's left the Michigan State men's basketball program?
I'll say this. First of all, with the whole Snapchat thing, it looks like he was preparing himself for Brazil, is the way it seems like, you know, just kind of the way. I'm not sure if anybody would maybe they would probably go about it a little bit different, but definitely trying to put out a fair warning to the women in Brazil, that's for sure. But
he got an offer by Vivid.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. However you can make your money, bring more money, and right now for Draymond Green, I'll say this: he's from Saginaw, you know, so. The thing is, you're in a position where you're getting your endorsements and sponsors and different people coming after you, and it's his character, it's his personality that's making him who it is. And yeah, he may run his mouth a tad bit, but he can back it up on the basketball court. I don't really have too much exactly to say about exactly what happened here on campus, where it seems like he kind of like slapped a guy out of school, if there's a such thing.
Yeah, Jermaine Abbotson, yeah.
Yeah, but I will say this, is that I'd like to see Draymond tone it down a little bit. I'd definitely like to see him tone it down a little bit, because one thing I know about this play anymore, coming back here to visit, I noticed that not a lot of things have really changed in the sense of people from Michigan. You know exactly what you're going to get. And they don't switch it up very much. You know, so, you know, we're very blue collar. You know what I'm saying? Very humble, but also very hungry. Can be very aggressive, but also very modest people. So when you're looking at a guy like a Draymond Green, who is a very outgoing guy, who we are, especially here, Michigan State, it is, you know, it's about class. And you want to continue to put that on display. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I think he should close his mouth just a little. Sometimes I think he runs it just a little bit too much for me personally. And it's getting to that point. It's growing to that point. And we all know that you can be humbled. If not by nobody else, there is somebody more almighty than you are that can bring you back to humble you. And I don't want to see that happen. Now, at the same time, you know, as long as you do what you're supposed to do within these 94 feet of this hardwood on this basketball court, I don't have a problem with it. The same thing was brought up when it amongst the likes of a Dennis Rodman, when the Chicago Bulls were going to go out to go and acquire for Dennis Rodman. And they kind of, you know, pulled back on it a little bit. Michael said, no, go get Dennis. Go get Dennis. We'll bring Dennis in, and we're okay with accepting, you know, who he is, his personality. He may get up, dress up in wigs and gowns and whatever else. But guess what? We'll embrace him. As long as you come here and you clock in, you do the work, you clock out, you get paid. What you do on your personal time is a whole nother thing. But Michael embraced him, took him under his wing, and said, I'll take care of him.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? From that standpoint, I like to think Draymond Green, with his mentality and just who he is, it's been very interesting this offseason.
Yeah, it's a blessing and a curse, because Draymond Green's attitude and that kind of outlandish, not afraid to speak what's on his mind, it's what makes him a great leader and also a great player, because he feeds off his own emotion. And he goes out there and plays hard. I think that revs him up. But at the same time, and you look at the amount of technical fouls he had, I think he knows that he needs to put it in check just a little bit. Folks, again, if you're just now joining us here, we have 5 minutes left in the show. Time flies when you're having fun. We are chatting with Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, Georgia. Deshaun, to wrap up here, I want to bring up some breaking news that took place yesterday as LeBron James the best basketball player in the world. He went out on the undefeated and made the announcement that he will be coming back with the Cleveland Cavaliers and signing a 3-year deal that will make him the highest paid player in the NBA for the first time in his respective career. Not surprising or surprising?
I would say not surprising. I mean, he deserved it. You know, he did something. One thing that I learned in life, is if nobody else has shown me, LeBron James has shown me, if you can't do anything else in life, you can always go back home. And of course, there were some concerns about that and how people would embrace him. But you better believe people would embrace him a lot differently. And we all kind of knew and felt that that would happen if he came back home and brought home a championship, something that hasn't happened since the 60s, you know, in that city in Cleveland. So it's not very surprising at all. I'm still a little caught up in, what was it, I think $153 million or $159 million for Mike Conley Jr. I'm still,
I don't know how.
Everything else, we're talking about LeBron James and Draymond Green, Olympics and this and that. My mind is still trying to get over Mike Conley, but I guess it's such a great agent as he has in his dad, I guess that just kind of speaks for itself. But
yeah,
the LeBron James and returning to Cleveland and being able to get the money that he's getting, not only is it not a surprise, but I think is very well due for him.
Yeah, and for all of what, 25 days, Mike Conley was the highest paid player in the NBA, which still, that just blew my mind. Really briefly here before we get to Reflection Friday, Deshaun, what are you looking forward to the most when it comes to this MSU football team this upcoming season? Just one thing.
Malik McDowell, probably. You know, I heard a little bit about, and I'm not sure how true it is, maybe you can help me out with this, but I hear something along the lines of, hey, if I'm not, if I wasn't going to be a top three pick in the NFL draft, then I'm going to be coming back to school.
He made that statement, yeah, at Media Day.
Yeah, and so I'm like, I get it, you know what I'm saying, but
I like that. That's good for Spartan fans out there.
Oh, and I agree with that, but I think the most important thing is that, you know, let's be focused here on, like, I don't want guys to get sidetracked by this whole NFL thing, because Michigan State under Mark D'Antonio has been putting a lot of guys into position where they can be top picks in the NFL draft. But I'm excited. I like what Michigan State is doing, because you know what you're going to get. We're going to roll out these 2- and 3-star guys. Yeah, sure, there may be some 4s sprinkled in there, not as many 5s as these other guys down the road. But you can go get your fancy Nancy coaches. You can go get your 5-stars. But I like my 2- and 3-stars with a guy like Mark D'Antonio, who's not going to put up much crap and he's not going to smile. If you don't want to go out there and play the brand of football that I have put us in position to be successful, to be played, then you can come over here and stand next to me and hand out Gatorade, towels, and water for the rest of the guys. Because I can put somebody else out on that field.
That's how Mark D'Antonio runs his program, and that's how historically he has done that, which is why this program is one of the best programs in the last 6 years that you can find anywhere on the map. So, Deshaun Tate, thanks so much, my man.
Thank you, man.
I got one Reflection Friday that you got to hear. I want to play some of it. Seth, do we have it queued up? This is Terry Collins, who had one of the most epic manager rants I have ever heard in the world of baseball. This took place yesterday. He's the manager of the New York Mets, and here's what he had to say after the Mets just reached the 500 mark. It was pretty candid. Check it out.
In the past, we've relied heavily on our veteran presence in the clubhouse, but, you know, this is a lot of responsibilities. I'm the manager here. It starts with me, and as I just have said so many times, I don't care who's not here. There are no excuses here. These are Major League Baseball players. I don't care where they came from. I don't care how they got here. The names on their back and on the front of their uniforms say they're a Major League Baseball player. It starts with them. And when you come and when you owe what you do, you owe a responsibility to the fans, our fan base, the organization, and to yourself, the respect for this game to come out and grind it out, whether it's hot or whether it's freezing cold. And that's where it's got to start. And I don't care. I know hitting's hard. Believe me. That's why you guys are sitting there and there and there. If it was easy, we'd be watching you guys play. It's not easy. But there's a way. They got here because they grind out of bats. That's how they got here, because that's how this organization's been built in the last few years. So we know it's possible. And yes, some guys are having a bad time. And woe, you cannot say woe is me at this level. You cannot do it. Everybody's too good here. Nobody feels sorry for you, because everybody's been humbled.
And those who get out, yeah, folks. Yeah, as you see, as we get out of here, I mean, it fades low under me. But man, Terry Collins had a epic manager rant as the Mets went through a tough stretch of baseball, folks. All right, well, on Monday we'll be back at it, same time, same place, folks. Thanks for listening, and as always, be easy, people.